can just kick back and listen to that. The great one, the late, great Chuck Brown. Right here on 106.7 The Fan. Pete and Joe with you till 10 o'clock. Out to everybody down at Waldorf listening in tonight. Right here on 106.7 The Fan. 1-800-636-1067. Redskins and the rest of the NFL busy in free agency. Pete and Joe taking your calls at 1-800-636-1067. Go over to Alexandria and bring in Mike. Mike, you're on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I was happy to see that the Skins actually had some action today, but one of our biggest weaknesses is in the safety position, and I know we let a couple guys that were pretty solid options go to other teams. So I'm wondering who else is out there in free agency or in the draft coming up, if there's any solid draft options, and whether or not a rookie can really make an impact in a safety position.
Appreciate the call, Mike. You know, obviously, you mentioned Joe earlier, the quality at the safety position was led by, you know, Jarris Byrd coming out of Buffalo, and the Saints, a team that did not appear to have a whole lot of space under the cap, creative enough to get Byrd in under the fold. The Redskins certainly would have loved to at least brought in a player of his caliber. Missed out on Mike Mitchell as well. I have some reservations about Mike Mitchell. I'm not a huge Mike Mitchell guy. I thought he was a guy that was overdrafted, when he came out. But the question remains is, they obviously, I think, internally have a lot of confidence in Philip Thomas coming back off the injury.
And they can still bring back Brandon Merriweather, too, if they want to.
Sure, and the thing, too, is...
it's not going to make everybody excited, though.
The problem with where they're picking in the draft, once you get past the first one or two guys, even in the draft, and there's questions as to even whether those guys are, you know, mid-level or late first-round picks, the safety position seems to drop off by a couple of rounds in terms of overall talent. You might have to reach up to get somebody if you're looking for a safety in the draft, but at least I think they still feel very confident what they have in Philip Thomas coming back based on what they've done in free agency.
I think if you look at the lists of guys that are still available, I would say Thomas DeCoux is probably the guy that, to me, is the best guy available, a guy who played at Atlanta. There's Nate Allen from Philadelphia who, you know, was a second-round draft pick and has been, for the most part, a disappointment. He was the guy, essentially, in the Donovan McNabb deal. That's the second-round draft pick became Nate Allen. And he had some times where he played well, but for the majority of time, he struggled. So I think you look at those couple of guys would be, you know, the free agents. And obviously Ryan Clark, who is 35 years old, he was in for a visit, and he would you'd have to put him in the list of the guys that are still out there.
Potential stopgap for a year, because Clark, with what, I mean, let's face it, if you're Ryan Clark, do you risk keep getting concussions out there, which he has had in the past? When you've got a very bright TV career clearly ahead of you, I think seven figures eventually attached to your price tag for somebody.
I would say to that, though, Pete, I think he has this tag as a guy that, because, you know, he can't play in Denver and he had that, you know, he had to take his spleen out and all that, he's got this image of a guy that hasn't played a lot. But when you look at his numbers, he started 91 games the last six seasons. So he's only missed a handful of starts the last couple of seasons. So he's an option that I think you're not going to be talking about a guy who you're going to sign that's going to be playing here for, you know, 3 years. I mean, like you said, I mean, this is a 1 year or 2 year deal that I think Ryan Clark would be somebody that you would look at. I think the frustration from the safety perspective for the Redskins should be that, look, you're not going to pay Jarris Byrd. You're not going to go 6 years, $54 million. In fact, some of the details today came out about that deal, and it's sort of like a little bit of funny money going on there by New Orleans about how they structured things, and much discussion whether he's going to get to that 6 year where really all the money functions for him.
Very few guys get to the end of the deal. We know that.
But I do think you can have some criticism about the other deals, because you're not looking to break the bank with the other signings. I mean, Dante Whitner signed for 4 years, $28 million. You mentioned Mike Mitchell, who a lot of people thought that the Redskins would target. He went for 5 years at $25 million, and the guy I really liked a lot was T.J. Ward. He's got signed by Denver, 4 years, $22 million. Now, they all signed, well, Whitner didn't sign with, but Pittsburgh And you look at the signing of T.J. Ward in Denver. He signed with teams that traditionally over the last, you know, 5-6 years have been playing in championship games. So you have to maybe overspend to get those guys. But if I was looking at this free agency thing as a whole, and it's changed a little bit here with this signing of Hatcher, you know, at 5 o'clock today, I would have said it's been a little bit of a disappointment because I think they might have overvalued what these guys were going to get on the open market. And in the back of your head, you say, well, if they overvalued what these guys were going to get in the open market, did they overvalue what Brian Arakpo was going to get in the open market? And maybe they didn't need to franchise tag him at $11 million or whatever the final number was. So I think they overvalued some guys outside of Bird, who got this huge deal. I think you could make an argument that they maybe overestimated some of the prices that these guys eventually signed for. And
who would you have paid more money to? DeMarcus Ware, Brian Arakpo? Because you got to look at where, you have to look at where more like 2 for $20, because 20 of it's guaranteed. So you're looking at 10 per year. Do you look better at the Ware money at his age at $10 million per, or do you like Arakpo at 11.5 for 1 year?
The one thing is, we talked about Arakpo before, is that whatever you do, I wouldn't have signed him to a long-term deal. So if you're telling
me
what...
I'm with you on that, because the torn pec history and the repeat of
so
it
if you're telling
scares
me
to death on a long-term deal.
That you would have to pay him what he could have got on the market. I'll take the shorter-term 3 years, $30 million for DeMarcus Ware. Then you would have
do
to.
Do you think Arakpo would have commanded the 11.5 on the open market?
Well, it's interesting because Michael Johnson, not like for like, because Johnson's a 4-3 defensive end, he only got $43 million for 5 years. So that's, you know, less than $9 million per.
Right.
So I think they overvalued him. If you look at the signings right now in the NFL, I think you can make a case that they overvalued him.
Okay, and let me play devil's advocate for a minute. How many years when Dan and Vinny were going out and signing Dion and Bruce Smith and all those guys and letting their guys walk away, criticized heavily for that. Now they take steps, preemptive steps, to keep their own here. Now we're hammering them because they may have overvalued their own player and the potential impact that he brings to the field. Does Jason Hatcher being on this team, though, now make Brian Arakpo a better player?
I think he does. So let's look at it from a different perspective, too, is that because we're not talking, look, you might simply sort of put it as Arakpo or Ware. There's other options, too, out there of what you could have done, different combinations, different permutations of guys you could have brought in for that money. Like I said before, the one thing I would have tried to avoid it at all cost is paying him, you know, some like 5 years at, you know,
$55 million.
Yeah. You know, we knew he wasn't going to get Clay Matthews type money, but, you know, I think they thought that he would get 10 to 11 per, and really nobody's getting that. I mean, the closest one is Aqib Talib. That's, you know, he's a shade under $10 million per. Outside of the one-year deal that Darrell Revis signed. So when you look at the market, and I understand what you're saying. If Benny was still here, they would have already signed the five-year, $52 million deal with Brian Arakpo, and he would have been signed, sealed, and delivered. But you have to, I'm not crushing them for what they did. I just think when you look at the whole picture, I think they did overvalue him a little bit.
Have we seen a dollar figure yet attached to Chris Clemens down in Jacksonville?
I did not see one, but you know he's coming off an injury, so he's going to probably take less money. I think the
certainly
Johnson
a chance to reunite with
the
Gus
Johnson
there.
Deal and the Lamar Houston deal, and Houston got $530 for $35 from Chicago. I think those are the two comparable. And if you ask me, would I rather have Michael Johnson than Brian Arakpo? I know Johnson's a 4-3 defensive end, but I think he could work as a 3-4 outside linebacker.
Right, what they are asked to do is going to be similar.
I would have taken Johnson for more money than Arakpo, and I know he's sort of not scheme friendly, but he's a tall, lengthy guy that can, you know, not the big, physical Julius Peppers defensive end. I think you could do some projecting there where you could have, you know, worked something out. It's a tough one because you'd like to, at one sense, you understand why they signed Arakpo, but now when you look, take a step back. And he hasn't signed his you know, papers. So, I mean, they could theoretically, they could say tear it up or not do it anymore.
And, you know, I mean,
and open up $11 million. But now the market doesn't have that guy.
Unless now you're bringing in, you know, unless you're going to ask Steve Smith, who's going to Baltimore to tonight and talk to them tomorrow, unless you ask him to come down I-95 and head out to Northern Virginia and talk to you afterward, I can't imagine why else you would try to free up significant more money by not tendering Arakpo that $11.5 million and releasing him from that transition offer.
I think you've already made your plan, and it'd be foolish to sort of pull back now, even though...
Because you know what would happen? You pull that plan back, you bring in that veteran like a Steve Smith, he pulls a hammy week two, Brian Arakpo goes somewhere else and has like 12 sacks. That would only be the way things would happen for the Washington Redskins. 7:46, break time. We'll take a look at the safeties available in the draft that the Redskins could possibly take a crack at to address the position as well. We'll do that when we return right here on 106.7 The Fan.